Well, let's look into the scripture before we pray. Let me be asking you to think of your favorite promise. This is an exercise we did about 20 years ago, but just be thinking of your favorite promise. You may get a chance to share that, state that in just a moment, and you'll see why. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 20. It's a familiar verse. If you have a dear promise to you, then this will be a dear adjunct to that promise. Well, here's the verse. For as many as may be, this is 2 Corinthians, did I say this yet? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20? Okay. As many as may be the promises of God, in him, that is, in our Lord Jesus, they are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. And only Paul could put together a sentence like that. But I think you got the gist of this. He is saying that Jesus is the what? He is the yes to all the promises of God. Now, let's just briefly spend a moment with the situation here. Paul had said to these dear folks that he was going to come through there on the way down to one place and on the way back up to another, and so he would pass by there twice. Well, some Judaizers had slipped in to Corinth, and they were telling the people that Paul, he wasn't really all that reliable because he didn't tell you the whole truth. He doesn't perhaps know the whole truth, and so you'd be wise not to lean your weight on all that he said. And then they would seize upon this situation. You see, he said he's coming, and he didn't come. You see what we're telling you about Paul? Can you rely upon him? And they would say no. And they were trying to get mileage out of Paul's failure to come to them. And the situation was that their attitude had changed, and Paul said, I'm not going to come twice and be a grief and a burden to you, because when I come, I may have to be kind of rough with some of you folks. And so I'm just going to come once to spare you. Now, you know all of this, right? This is how he puts it. Look at verse 15. In this confidence, I intended at first to come to you so that you might twice receive a blessing. That is, to pass your way into Macedonia, and again from Macedonia to come back down to you, by you be helped on my journey to Judea. Therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or what I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh? So that with me there's yes, yes, and no, no at the same time. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. And then he realizes, it's on him as a concern that if you can discredit Paul, then you can start to discredit what Paul has taught and what he's preached. You can start throwing aspersions upon the person of the Lord Jesus, because look at his representative. Look at his behavior. So he says in verse 19, now the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, he was not yes and no, but he's yes in him. He is the truth. He is the absolute truth. He is nothing but the truth. And so he is making it very, very clear his own purpose and how he, as the ambassador of Christ, stands for the ever faithful one. He is absolutely faithful. He is absolutely dependable. He is totally reliable. In fact, his statement again, verse 20, as many as may be the promises of God, in him, in Jesus, they are yes. What is he saying? And here's our statement. He is God's answer. Do you have a question for the Lord? Christ is the answer. I like the way the Four has put this on their building. It's as true as it is bold. You drive down the West Loop and you pass by Ford Travel, and there it is. Christ is the answer. I rejoice every time I go by that. I said, now, I know that some people may roll their eyes when they see that, but it's the truth. And now the Drury down here has got the same thing on a building right off of the South Loop. We just need it on the East Loop and the North Loop, and we got the city circled with this. Christ is God's answer, isn't he? Christ is the Lord's amen. Or let me put it this way to you. Christ is the Father's guarantee. How about that? You know what a guarantee is, don't you? It's the promise that it's the promise of fulfillment. In our little line of business, you have to offer a guarantee to people. You get a guarantee on your car. You get a guarantee on your, you buy the property and you have a title warranty. You have all kinds of guarantees crisscrossing the planet because men want people to stand behind their word, right? We've got a lot of promises in the Word of God. Does anyone want to voice one of your favorites? Carolyn.
It's for us like the horns of the wild ox. And if God be for us, who can be against?
Now that's two, but I like it. Okay. She said, God is for us like the horns of the wild ox. It's the Old Testament. And then she went to the New. And if God is for us, who can be against us? Do you have a guarantee on that? Okay, what's the guarantee?
Jesus.
I read here, as many as may be the promises of God in Jesus Christ, they are perhaps. No. They are yes. Therefore, also through him is our amen, Lord, to the glory of God through us. Anyone else want to share a promise? Okay, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. That's pretty good, isn't it?
He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus.
She comes from Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's encouraging, isn't it? These are things that God is saying, I will do and I will be. It's a guarantee of help. It's a guarantee of assistance. It's a guarantee of protection. It's a guarantee of success. I've got a few listed here. Listen to this one. Truly, truly, and that's in the original, it's amen, amen, which is an emphatic way of saying, this is the truth. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Has eternal life. Have you heard the voice of the Son of God? Do you believe him who sent his Son into this world? And our Lord says, those are the conditions. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me, he has it. It's not that he will have it someday. It's not that at some glorious by and by it's going to come settling down upon him like a heavy snowfall. But no, you've got it now. He has eternal life and there's more, does not come into judgment. Now, how is Jesus the amen on that? Because God has poured out his judgment already on his Son. Jesus bore it all, and therefore all to him we owe. The wrath of God was fulfilled and put away in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how John can say he is righteous to forgive. When we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us, but it's a right thing to do. It's as if it's saying, it's check any law book and it's good, it's sound, it's solid, it's right. There is no contradiction to this. He is righteous to forgive. And that just means that he looks upon that sin, and then he looks upon the contrite one, and really what he sees is the work of his Son, our Lord Jesus. Father, forgive them. And you wonder how many times that glorious prayer re-echoes in the ears of the Father. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Or hear this. This is just one verse more. Truly, truly, that's another truly, truly statement. I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And those who hear shall live. If you are in Jesus Christ tonight, that means that God has been faithful to his word to you. And it has come to you via and through his dear Son. You have heard his voice. You have accepted him. Just as Paul said, he has become to you wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification. And the day is coming when he will be fulfilling the work and finishing it. He will be to us. What's the next? What's the last one? Redemption. He will redeem us. And so he says, the hour is coming, and it now is. This is sort of like he has eternal life. They shall live. You live now, don't you? Something that was dead in us has come to life because of Jesus. That means it's just like Jesus coming into Bethany, which we heard recently, and standing in front of our tombs, and each one of us calling us by name, saying, Terrell, come forth. Carolyn, come forth. Billy, come forth. And you can put your name in there too. Come forth. And somehow life, the life of God comes and becomes, it comes through Jesus, doesn't it? Well, let me read you another couple more. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal. Will he give? Does he give so freely? Well, he told the woman at the well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you. And so she does ask him, and he does give. Is Jesus in the habit of turning any away? And what's the answer to that? All that come to me, what's that?
I will in no wise cast out.
I will in no wise cast out. Now, do you have a guarantee on that? Absolutely. Jesus himself has said this. He has stood behind this, and all the promises of God are yea and amen in him. This coming Sunday night, we're going to be thinking on this. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. Oh, that's sweet. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. It's an interesting story to read the early days of George Whitefield, and particularly his conversion experience, the way he wrestles through and tries to lay hold of what it means to be a believer in Christ. And it's very difficult for him, like it was difficult for Luther. Both these men struggled, wrestled. Well, so did Wesley. And you have a feeling that God is going to greatly use those that he's been plowing deep. And there's some real deep furrows in this man's soul. And finally, in desperation one day, he cries out to God, Lord, I thirst. I thirst. Now, what's the promise? He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. If you know anything about early New England history and the history of our country before it became a country, You know the answer to this next question. Did God answer that prayer? Did he hear the heart cry of his broken-hearted servant? Lord, I thirst. Would you come to me and fulfill this and fill this little vessel? I'm so dry. I'm so hungry. I'm so thirsty. And God filled that man. As close as we can get to October the 23rd, we'll read the story of George Whitefield coming to Middletown again. And you'll see the whole countryside just emptying and racing down to the church grounds to hear a word from heaven. Oh, look here. This is something that Carolyn told us. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. That's sweet to me. Because I look at my own life and I compare it to George Whitefield or George Wesley or George anybody, George Dodson, and I think, well, you know, I could see, I would understand if the Lord said, not you, not you. And some of you may feel the same way. But then you hold on to this and you say, now, Lord, you said, all that the Father shall give me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. Now, that's a sweet statement, and it's all the sweeter when you couple with that 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, that all the promises of God are in him, yes, and an amen. How about this? And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose not too many. Basically, not very many at all. He says, I lose nothing. Nothing. But I raised it up on the last day. This is the will of him who sent me. Oh, Father, I delight to do your will, he has said elsewhere. And he speaks through David so long before, 1,000 years before this. And he says, in the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will. I come for this one purpose, to do the will of God. And that's why Gethsemane is so important. Wrestling it through. Is there any other way? There is no other way. Well then, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. He adds to that this, and we'll close with this. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone, that's a pretty conclusive term there, it doesn't get any broader than that, everyone, or inclusive than that, everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself raise him up on the last day. It's my book of promises here. We've just gotten 2 pages into it here. And Paul says, as many as may be. And so you've got promises rummaging around in your heart that you didn't share out loud. And we could have turned almost anywhere in the Bible, couldn't we? And found something. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's sweet. Oh, yes, I love that one. Thank you, thank you. We'd be reminded of something that is as dear to us as our next breath. And then we hear Paul saying, as many as may be, in Jesus, this is how reliable he is, in Christ, they are all, amen. He is God's guarantee. He is God's answer to every question we have. He is God's, amen. Let's pray.